Are our hearts clear? It occurred to me while I was sitting here how often the things that are shared during our time of prayer and sometimes most often during our open worship, how often it's about love. Somebody we love, somebody we're grateful for, somebody we're carrying in our heart. You know, I get you for about 15 minutes a week, 20 if people don't talk much. But you know, we're out there in the world then, we're here for an hour, we're out there in the world for something like 167 hours, we're here for one. And I think it's maybe one of the most important things that we do is that we show up here and listen to eternity a little bit. We remember who we are. We remember that we're called to center in something other than all the scattered things that are going on the other 167 hours a week. And of course, it's my task then to help us focus during, if you're counting or if you can't, don't want to turn around and look at the clock, we've got about 13 minutes. You know, I love it when science and spirituality dovetail in some way, that some way they bear one another out. And I learned a while back that some scientists actually believe that we human beings are born with what they call an altruistic gene. We're biologically moved to give of ourselves to others. A Harvard psychologist did some research on the idea that when we feel love, it does us some good. If we regularly spend an hour with someone we love, reminiscing about people we've shared love with, then it actually boosts our immune system. In one experiment, they showed people a film of Mother Teresa and the self-giving love that she and her people had for those folks in Calcutta. And it caused people to become more resistant to respiratory illness. Another researcher found that people who have fantasies about selfless love actually then have an increased number of T cells. That is, those cells in our body that are designed to fight infection. Now, the point of following Jesus isn't that we get fewer colds. But there's something about all this that points to how we're made. And maybe something that's at the core of this world in which we live, at the core of this universe that is so vastly beyond our ability to comprehend, that at the center of that is something that we Christians call love. That it's at the heart of what it means to live. So as I said, we come here to focus on what we might call divine things, the things of God. Jesus, in this passage that was read for us a little while ago, where maybe it would help to understand the context in the Gospel of Mark. Just before this, Peter has Jesus has asked this question, who do people say that I am and who do you say that I am? And Peter blurts out, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah, you're the one that's coming to bring in the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, you're right. But immediately after that, Jesus says, the Son of Man, which is his preferred way of referring to himself, the human one, has to undergo great suffering. He's going to be crucified. He's going to die. And then on the third day, he's going to rise again. And Peter said, oh, come on, that's not right. That can't ever be. I love the old the Cotton Patch Gospel. Some of you have actually been in it. Most of you have seen it. Do you remember there's a scene in there where Peter comes to Jesus and says something, but you got to hush up about all this lynching nonsense. We got it all figured out. We're going to get some of our people in high places, and we're going to bring this all about, and the life's going to be good for everybody, and people will be healthy, happy, and wealthy, and on and on. But Jesus' response to that, you're thinking humanly. You're thinking human things and not divine things. Divine things have to do with self-giving love. Giving yourself up for God's purposes in this world and then experiencing resurrection. Because human things and divine things are different. Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, which means basically that Satan is an adversary. He said, if that's what you think, you're working against me. Because Jesus calls us to follow him. He doesn't just say, worship me from afar. He doesn't just say, sing praise choruses about me over and over again. He says, follow me. This is life. You want to know what life's about, you want to experience life in its fullest, what he called abundant life, then follow the pattern I'm showing you, the pattern of giving yourself, self-giving love. He never hid the fact that it can be costly, that a demand is placed on us that might, and well, I can say for certain, it's going to pull us out of our comfort zone. Is going to ask something of us that we're not naturally inclined to do. Start following Jesus. Those of you who've been doing this for years know exactly what I'm talking about. He's going to ask you to do something probably that feels like it's not your nature to do. He might ask you to take a stand for something right when you see something very, very wrong going on. And that can make you very unpopular. He might ask you to give something that's costly to somebody who's needy. He might ask us to show up early on a Saturday morning to go clean up a messy neighborhood somewhere. Or, we'd rather play golf. That's a little death, isn't it? That's a little dying of my will in order to do something that the kingdom of God's calling me to do. Or he might ask you to practice the very divine thing of offering forgiveness to somebody who has harmed you. To teach grace to somebody. These things all tend to pull us very much out of our comfort zone, don't they? And finally, they're all somehow about love. One of my favorite passages in all the writings of C.S. Lewis that I've read through the years is in The Four Loves, where he says something to the effect that that the only place where you're safe from the dangers of love is hell. You decide to give your heart to anything, it's very likely to be broken, even a pet. Wrap it up, he says, in little luxuries, self-indulgences, and there in the coffin of your heart it will go bad, become unbreakable. It's risky, but the alternative is dying inside. Jesus, didn't he say there, you could gain the whole world but lose your soul? Lose that innermost part of us, that part of us that's made for interactive relationship with the Spirit of God, which always leads to love in some way. A little reading from a writer named Lois Cheney that was written way back in the 60s that's still very apropos this morning. He saw people love each other. He saw friends love friends. He saw mothers love children. He saw husbands love wives. He saw that all love made strenuous demands on the lovers. He saw love require sacrifice and self-denial. He saw love produce arguments and anguish. He saw it bring disappointments, pain, and even death. And he decided that it cost too much. He decided not to diminish his life with love. He saw people strive for distant and hazy goals. He saw people strive for success. Women strive for high ideals. Young people strive for attainment. He saw that striving was frequently mixed with disappointment. He saw strong people fail, get maimed, even killed. He saw it force people into pettiness, grasping at those things they both saw and didn't see. He saw that those who succeeded were sometimes those who had not earned success. He decided that it cost too much. He decided not to soil his life with striving. He saw people serving others. He saw people give money to the poor and the helpless. He saw whole groups work to build, clean, and heal others. He saw that the more they served, the faster the need grew. He saw large portions of money freely given, line already fat pockets. He saw ungrateful receivers turn on their striving friends. And he decided that that cost too much. He decided not to soil his life with serving. And when he died, he walked up to God and presented his life, undiminished, unmarred, unsoiled. His life was clean from the filth of the world. And he presented it proudly to the mighty God, saying, "This is my life." And God said, "What life?" Those who try to hold on to their lives will lose it. Those who give their lives for my sake and for the kingdom of God will find it. Amen.